And welcome to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. In this podcast, we discuss mystical works of literature and how they relate to recovery. We hope you enjoy today's podcast episode.
Hello, this is Buddy C. Welcome to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. Today, so far, we have a men's meeting. We got Brian and Drew and Lou. Good to have you guys today. Today, we'll be talking about the 43rd verse of the Tao Te Ching and how it relates to recovery. If you're new to us, go to buddyc.org, look under the resources link. Got a lot of things there that may be a help in recovery. All right, the 43rd verse of the Tao Te Ching. Brian, let's start with you, sir. You've got the Derek Lynn. Is that correct?
I do. The softest things of the world override the hardest things of the world. That which has no substance enters into which has no openings. From this I know the benefit of unattached actions, the teaching without words. The benefits of actions without attachment are rarely matched in the world.
Thank you, Brian. Lou, you have red pine, correct?
Yes. Red pine, the weakest thing in the world overcomes the strongest thing in the world. What doesn't exist finds room where there's none. Thus, we know help comes with no effort, wordless instruction, effortless help. Few in the world can match this.
Thank you. Drew, you have Stephen Mitchell, I believe. Mm-hmm.
The gentlest thing in the world overcomes the hardest thing in the world. That which has no substance enters where there is no space. This shows the value of non-action. Teaching without words, performing without actions. That is the master's way.
Thank you, Drew. And I'm going to read Jonathan Starr, and then we'll get with the discussion today. The most yielding thing in the world will overcome the most rigid. The most empty thing in the world will overcome the most full. From this comes a lesson. Stillness benefits more than action. Silence benefits more than words. Rare indeed are those who are still. Rare indeed are those who are silent. And so I say, rare indeed are those who obtain the bounty of this world. Any comments, guys?
That last part you read just reminds me of the phrase, be still and know.
Yes. I've heard it put, I heard James Bean do this actually on Spiritual Awakening Radio. Great podcast. If you guys would be interested. He goes through a lot of different things. You can search in his episodes. I found the Tao Te Ching actually on his podcast. He doesn't talk about the Tao Te Ching, but he talked about it in passing with a quote. And I found it through the quote he quoted from the first verse. If you like, let me say this about his podcast too. If you like studying the Nag Hammadi or some of the books of the Bible that were not part of the canonical books. He does studies on the Book of Thomas, or on the Book of Mary Magdalene, and all of those books that have been found over the years. And he does a study, he did a study on Jesus as teacher rather than master. Jesus as teacher rather than savior. And the difference is there. Very good. And you can search, and he's got thousands of episodes. Spiritual Awakening Radio is the name of the podcast. I couldn't recommend it more. Learned a lot about meditation there too. This really talks about us letting go and getting out of the way, right? Let's start with, we'll just use the Stephen Mitchell. Let's start with that first stanza. The gentlest thing in the world overcomes the hardest thing in the world. Or Jonathan Starr put it as the most yielding thing in the world will overcome the most rigid. Makes me think of things that are dead versus things that are alive. I guess flexibility is probably one of the greatest changes that's happened in my life through recovery and through studying the Tao is learning how to be flexible, approaching things with an open mind, not feeling that I have it all figured out. I can learn nothing if I think I have everything figured out. It's funny. I'll be in a meeting and they'll open the meeting and say, does anyone have anything affecting their sobriety? And somebody will come up with something and then the chairperson will say, that fits with what I was going to talk about. And they go right back to what they were going to talk about. And I'm like, why did you ask? That's not being flexible. Things used to have to be my way about everything because it was the right way, or I would be doing it your way if it wasn't. Man, that has totally changed for me. If y'all have anything, just jump in.
Red Pine has some commentary on it. Actually, I think it's Wang Dao. It says 8 feet of water can float 1,000-ton ship. 6 feet of leather can control a horse for 1,000 miles.
Hmm. Yeah, I pictured water too. The gentlest thing in the world overcoming the hardest thing. But I like that analogy about how that little water can support something so big. But what I thought about was like something like the Grand Canyon, just a huge chunk of rock, and give water enough time and it'll just carve and carve and carve and do its thing. So if I'm like the rock, if I'm rigid and stiff and imposing my will, it's not going to last long.
We learn. Thank you, Drew and Lou. We learn not to judge as part of this practice, because when I start judging, I'm automatically dividing.
Buddy, I was thinking about that comment I've heard in recovery of round hole, square peg, bigger hammer.
Yes.
Forcing everything. And another thing comes to mind is I just lost my train of thought. But yeah, that round hole, square peg, bigger hammer, forcing, not allowing, forcing versus allowing.
And Brian, when you said that, I was thinking about humility, how how we think we can think that our ideas are better than somebody else's ideas, our position on a topic or our understanding of a situation is better than the person that's living it or better than somebody else's. And that's a hard way. That's not a soft way. So there's some connection to humility here too with, with the soft way.
Patience, I think. Compassion.
We can have
empathy. Empathy.
Mm-hmm. We can have none of that if we're. Yeah. We can't have any of that if we're sitting in judgment. My daughter was driving back yesterday down to visit us for the weekend. She had a bagel left over and she saw a homeless guy. She said, well, I'm going to stop and give the homeless guy this bagel. So she rose out and said, you want this bagel? I've got it left over. He said, I'm so full. I don't think I could eat it. Thank you though. And she thought, he's a homeless guy. He should take my bagel. And she got kind of irritated about it that the guy wouldn't take her bagel. And I thought that was funny. Yeah. But we got to be flexible. If we're not, we're going to get disturbed in our, and the disturbance does not accomplish anything other than make us upset and aggravated. That's all. I think the way I started, the thing that helped me to, a couple of tools that helped me to stop, to become more flexible, was when I started in meetings at the first of the meeting. I've talked about this. Went around the room. I opened my heart to each person. I sent them love, each person. And if something else came to mind, I would say it while I was doing that. And thirdly, I asked how I could be of service to that person today. And if I had enough time, I'd go around the room to each individual person and do this in the whole room. And usually the size of our meetings, some of them between 15 and 20, maybe even 30 sometimes, but I could get through by the time the topic started. But during the readings, I'd have time to do that. And I found that I was always in a better place when I did that. And then not taking things personal, that led to when I had interactions, I realized that the person that they're responding to is not the same, is not Buddy. They would respond that way to anyone. I'm the one noticing that the one sending love is not the one that's being responded to. I'm noticing that. I'm the one noticing this behavior. I always use the car example. They just pulled out in front of this car. They pulled out in front of any car. They didn't pull out in front of Buddy. Why are they doing that to Buddy? That kind of thing. And then I realized, even my wife at the time, she'd treat any husband that way. She wasn't doing that to me. And just realizing that I was not those things. I was not my thoughts. I was not my feelings. I'm the one noticing those things. So that helped me to be more flexible. If you guys have anything that's helped you with that, we'd be happy to hear them. If you have anything that I didn't cover.
I think that's one thing that meditation's helped me with, is when I'm sitting and just being still and noticing when I have a thought and allowing it to exist and then allowing it to leave without judging it. That lets me, for one thing, do that with other people's thoughts. I can hear what their thoughts are without judging them and just allow those thoughts to leave. And then throughout the day, if I notice that I'm in a thought loop, negative thought loop, selfish thought loop, resentment thought loop, I'm better able to notice that I'm in it and get myself out of it. And that just gives me the emptiness that's always talked about in the Tao Te Ching in the next couple of lines, actually.
Yeah, and Al-Anon, most of us come there because we're expert advice givers, and we know and can tell people what they're doing wrong and and how they're doing it wrong and what they need to do instead and all of those kinds of things. And one of the things that becomes apparent is that we weren't asked for those opinions. Nobody asked us what we thought about this or what we thought about that or what we thought they should do. And so it becomes a habit to not respond to those things unless you're asked a specific question or asked to share your views. And just that little thing has helped me a lot, because I would want to jump in and either be defensive or be self-righteous or something like that and jump in and explain why they're wrong so that it would help them. Yeah. And I've learned over time much better at waiting to be asked. It sometimes makes for a two-sided conversation difficult, because people are saying something and I'm just sitting there and not responding. But not responding is maybe this better way that we just read about.
I can relate. I relate to what Lou said, because I'm an Al-Anonic as well. And I used to love the should on people. This is what you should do. This is the right way. And I know where that comes from. But now, like, I just try to say, I hear you. And if it's something that I have some experience in, all I can say is, look, I was in a similar situation, and this is what worked for me. If somebody would like some feedback. I remember the first time I finally got it through my head that I needed to say, would you like some feedback? And so that was like a major milestone. And the first time I asked somebody that, and they said, no, not really. And really all they wanted was to be heard. But I just felt like they had the remnants of whatever they were sharing in a bucket, and they just took it and splashed it on me. You know, I was just like,
yeah, there's a book called Humble Inquiry, where it's not judging, is seek to understand and give some techniques on how to draw that out of people so they can find their own, they can clarify their own thinking on it. But it's a much better way than asking questions is much better than telling people what they need to do.
Thank you, Lou. I see this in, where can we find this in AA literature, let's say? And what Lou said reminded me of St. Francis prayer. And this really is a way to be flexible rather than rigid and judgmental. Lord, make me, this is, you can find it on page 99 of the 12 and 12 in step 11. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that I may seek. This is the hard one here, this part to the end, that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Having eternal life now. And how do I self-forget? By doing the preceding part of the prayer. That's how I self-forget. That's being flexible, without a doubt. There's no rigidity in seeking to comfort rather than be comforted, to understand rather than be understood, to love rather than be loved. That's as flexible as you could get, I believe.
Serving others rather than wanting to be served.
Yes. Yes. That's powerful. Thank you, guys. If it's good with everyone, we'll move to the second stanza. That which has no substance enters where there is no space. This shows the value of non-action. The Jonathan Starr says, stillness benefits more than action. Silence benefits more than words. It's interesting. It's not things with substance that enter where there is no space. That which has no substance, only that with no substance can enter where there is no space. And Stephen Mitchell equates that to non-action. And I don't think that means we do nothing. I think that means that we do nothing of self. It's the self-forgetting, like in the St. Francis prayer.
That reminds me of what Lou was talking about listening to somebody and not giving your opinions, not telling them what they should do. Just the value in listening. Listening isn't doing nothing. When you're actively listening, that is something. That's paying attention to somebody, that's hearing their words, reflecting it back to them, maybe asking some curious questions, get them to speak a little bit more, get them to share their thoughts. And that's a huge gift that you can give to somebody. It's really, I think it's really rare to come across somebody who just listens. I know when I'm out in the world and just listen to somebody, I can tell they're really appreciative. It's a skill and definitely something that everybody appreciates when you do it.
And Drew, we don't have to do that. We don't have to be able to quote any verses or passages from the big book or whatever. I just ask myself one simple question. How can I be helpful right now? That's all I have to do. It's not complicated. What I used to ask was, okay, I don't really want to hear what this person has to say, but I'll do, I was going through my head how I could get out of this conversation. No helpfulness there.
Mm-hmm.
How can I be helpful?
You suppose that in some way, when we can have that stillness of not interceding, that it can create a space for other people to explore their own things. I'm thinking of when I went through a divorce and I was in counseling. The wisdom I got from that came from my own words when the therapist was just listening to what I had to say. They'd like, oh, okay. It didn't come out of anything that she said. It was that safe place that allowed me to do my own processing. And it seems to me sometimes that when you're around people that have that stillness about them, that it, I don't know how, but it seems like it expands from them and is helpful in some ways. I don't know. Has it to do with Tao? I don't understand it. It's just an observation.
Thank you, Lou. It reminds me of the benefit of me doing a fourth step with my sponsor. Most of the time, when we go back and have some issue with something, you call it a 10th step, but he calls it a mini fourth step is what he calls it. He makes me write it out, and then we go sit down and talk about it. So we can't just talk. No, I want you to write it out. Okay. So I know before I bring anything to him, I already write it out because he's going to ask. And as I'm sharing whatever this is with him, nine times out of 10, I know the solution when I'm finished sharing. Yeah, that act of listening, him listening, that silence is where a lot of times the solution is.
It's like being in a storm and being buffeted around by the wind, and then you step behind something that creates the quietness.
Yes.
My wife has a meeting that she attends on Zoom several times a week. And after the shares, they say, thank you, you've been heard.
Hmm.
And I always, when she's chairing, I always like to hear her say that. It's affirming.
It is. It is. Thank
that's,
you.
That's something I try to say to some of my friends in recovery is, if you need to borrow an ear, just call and I'll just listen.
Hmm. That reminds me too, when I came into, especially just coming in, I had all these issues that seemed to be insurmountable. A lot of us have legal issues. We have marital issues, whatever the case. We have all these things that, how is there a way out of this? And then when we surrender, start working the program, which has no substance, enters where there is no space. This starts working out on its own. We start practicing non-action by using the tools in the program to surrender. Surrender is how I can find that place of non-action. And like Drew said, it's not that we do nothing. We just change our focus of what we're doing. My work is in surrendering. My work is not in fixing the problem. And the way I surrender is by looking for a way to help you. If it's specific, like I have a resentment, we're taught 552, the big book, that we pray for the person. And then once we pray for them, we keep doing that, even if it's empty words and we don't feel it works. We keep doing it. That's how I come to a place of non-action. Because really, that is practicing non-action, isn't it? I'm not trying to fix my resentment. How in the world would be me praying for that person? That makes no logical sense. That would fix my resentment. That really is giving up trying to fix my resentment. That's how I surrender, is I stop trying to fix it myself. And I usually need to put the focus on them because I'm not spiritually, maybe I'll be spiritually mature to a point someday that I can do different than that. I won't have to pray for that. I don't think so, though. That really is a tool that works every time. It may take longer sometimes. I had one that took, I think, a couple of months. But I realized I wasn't thinking about that person anymore. Whoa. So I guess I can stop saying that. I can stop praying for them. I realized the 24 hours before, I never had one thought about them. I said, okay. And if it comes back, I'll start doing it again, which happens sometimes. That's good. All right. Let's move to the next stanza, the last one, unless you guys have something to add there.
Hey, buddy, I was just going to read something about the second stanza real quick. It says, water seeps into and dissolves rocks. Electricity flows through a block of metal. Thus, the intangible Tao can permeate all things, even if they appear to be solid without any cracks or openings. To me, that speaks to so much about recovery. It's just like that invisible miracle that happens for some of us that we can't explain it and we can't see it and can't feel it, but it just happens. And I know for me, when I came in, I was absolutely black and white. My way was the right way. And then I had all these messes that I was the common denominator in the middle of all of them. And I was so freaking shut off, I couldn't see it.
Thank you, Brian. Last stanza, teaching without words, performing without actions, that is the master's way. Star says, rare indeed are those who are still. Rare indeed are those who are silent. And he also says, rare indeed are those who obtain the bounty of this world. We would think the bounty of this world would be the opposite of this, right? That we're out there working. When this is saying the bounty of the world is found by being still and silent. I can attest to that in a few things. I think I shared so many different places. The title of the book, Powerless But Not Helpless. I finished writing it and I did not have a title. I looked around out there to see what, and there was nothing. And I said, okay, I'm powerless over finding a title. So that's taking non-action. I said, I'm going to wait to publish until I have a title. I had no idea what to call it. So that week I was listening to a podcast. It was Don M. the Boiled Owl, Don and Sam. And his guest, she said, I'm powerless, but I'm not helpless. There it is. That very week. So I emailed Don. I said, hey, is it okay if I use this for the title of the book? By the way, he did all the art in the book too. And he said, no, I don't see a problem with that at all. So I had my title. It came from, I was in a place of non-action. I was going to sit and wait. So next I needed a book coach because I didn't know how to publish. I was going to self-publish. I know I couldn't have got a contract with a publisher. That just wasn't going to happen. So I said, I'm powerless over finding a book coach. I'm just going to sit and wait until I have one because I know one will come my way. I looked around on the internet and different things. I did everything I could to see if it was there, but I didn't stress over it. I didn't stay up all night looking. Oh my God, I got to find a book. I didn't do all of those things. I said, okay, I'm going to wait. We had the nightly Zoom meeting that we started right at the first of the pandemic. The Fourth Dimensioners meets 9 p.m. every night still, by the way, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can get there at zoomaameetings.com. We put in all the Facebook groups a little link and a thing about the meeting. We did it periodically, and I'd been doing it for months. I turned it over to a sponsee, but he didn't do it. So I called him up, said, hey, what's going on with this? Blah, blah. He said, I just have, instead of fussing at him and making him do it, I was flexible. Now I see I was flexible. I said, that's okay. I'll do it myself. No problem. So I took the 20, 30 minutes to do it. It takes some time. I got a response. Now, I'd been doing this for months and months before this, from March until, I think this was in August or September. One lady responded to me, and she was saying that she couldn't make it, blah, 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 something about being an author and some other stuff. I said, oh, I said, I responded to her. I said, do you have a good book coach that you could recommend? She says, oh, I do. And she gave me the person's information. I still use her to this day. She's been tremendous help to me. If anyone out there needs a book coach, email me from the website and I will put you in touch with her or reply to the daily Tao devotion. And she is wonderful. No pressure, knows everything about the business. Really, I couldn't get a better book coach, I don't believe. I got it by taking non-action. And I can tell you more and more stories that same way. So it works. It really does. If I step out of the way, isn't that what we learn with recovery too? All this practice is us learning how to step out of the way and allow recovery to arise in our life. We keep that suppressed, like trying to push that beach ball down in the water. The further you push it, the more you push, the harder it pushes back.
Buddy, that reminds me on the Boiled Owl. I don't know which one of the guys says, I'm recovering as hard as I can, or
that's Don.
Some comment along that line.
I'm recovering just as hard as I can.
I can. Yeah.
I'm trying just as hard as I can. Yeah. By the way, Don does the one of the co-hosts on the Grapevine podcast now. Any other comments on that last phrase? Teaching without words. Does that teach you? What's the third tradition say? The one that talks about attraction, not promotion, that would be teaching without words.
It reminds me of, I stopped drinking about 13 years ago, but I was still going to a lot of social functions where there was a lot of alcohol and still with friends who drank a lot. I was dating somebody who her friends drank a lot, and you know, a lot of them viewed me suspectly for not drinking anymore. And I'd talk to them. I'd tell them about not drinking, all the good reasons why I don't and all that. And I could talk and that wouldn't change anybody. But several months after I stopped drinking, a few people who'd really given me a hard time about stopping, making fun of me in front of people, just ragging on me. Individually, they came up to me and said that they've noticed that I seem to be living a more satisfying life. I seem, you know, calmer. I seem happier. I seem to be doing really well. And they're wondering about what their life could be like with less alcohol or none at all. They told me they felt like they had to drink or else they'd get shunned or kicked out of the group or treated the way that they've been treating me. And I left that group behind, and I don't know what any of them are doing anymore, but I know that when I stopped talking about it and just was living my life, they could see the actions were worth 1,000 words. They could see how well my life was going. They could see I was in a better place. And that's what got them to consider making some changes in their lives. So that's what those lines have taught me. And there are a lot of similar lines to that in the Tao Te Ching. But that's usually what that brings up for me, is how talking about something like stopping drinking, I can talk about that all day long and not change anybody's minds. But just going about my life and being the pattern for the world, as that's one of my phrases elsewhere in the book, that's what gets people to start asking questions.
Thank you, Drew. Yes. It's not our job to fix these folks, is it, Lou?
I used to think so. But I was thinking about terms of teaching through stillness. I have gained so much peace and humility from nature. No words spoken by the trees, no words spoken by the birds or the water flowing by on the lake. I've learned that from watching somebody pick up trash when somebody else dropped it, or simple things like someone returning the cart at the supermarket, either to the corral or back into the building that they didn't bring out themselves. So those little things of seeing, not with words, but through actions or just through the natural state, are things that I've learned a lot from, more so than a lot of lectures that I've attended or a lot of books that I've read. So there's a stillness of speaking without words or learning without words for me.
Definitely. Definitely. I just looked up my interpretation of this 43rd verse, the value of selfless action. That which yields overcomes the hardest substances. That which has no resistance finds room where there is no space. We hadn't looked at it in that. We haven't looked at it that way, not offering resistance, not pushing back. That takes surrender for me. Therefore, know the value of selfless action, allowing personal experience to be your teacher. The world seldom comprehends these principles. Allowing personal experience, not only yours, but someone else's personal experience too, to be your teacher. Oh, that was tradition 11. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Just like we've been talking, it's attraction, not promotion. The anonymity part we can use personally too. The gift is not me. The gift is the higher power that's in my experience. That's the gift. And someone in need draws that to them. I'm not the wonderful person that gets someone sober. Someone else would have been there for that person if I wasn't available. It's about the person receiving, not the person giving. Makes it even less about us. Yeah, that's good. Any other comments on this, guys, before we close?
I do use the word resistance there. That makes the little stanza make a little more sense to me.
I can only have no substance if I stop resisting, because the substance itself, that's the problem. That's what I always did before, was try to fix situations by self. Now, I was full of fear, so the only tools I had was selfishness, dishonesty, and resentment. That's my only tools if I'm taking a fearful action. And then when we surrender through our love-based actions, then it doesn't matter what the situation is. There's a solution that can present itself if we step out of the way, stop resisting. And then we learn that we can't judge whatever the situation is being good or bad. We don't know what's good or bad. We just learn to surrender to what is, and then allow whatever comes next and learn to accept that and be consistent in accepting. Then we learn that we can be at peace even in unacceptable situations. Not at peace because it worked out a particular way, but because we were in acceptance, not pushing, not resisting anymore. Goes back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Derek Lynn said the benefits of action without attachment as the non-action. Yeah, that's good. Covers it all. Anything else, guys? I don't talk to you. I'll see y'all next week. Thank you.
Hello, this is Buddy C. I wanted to make you aware of several recovery-related resources that I've posted in the episode description. These resources include a list of recovery podcasts, a free sober meditation app, daily recovery email, shared Google recovery calendars. Hope you put some of these resources to use and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Tao of Our Understanding Recovery Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends in recovery.